And this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe, and joining us once again, our resident film guru, Professor Film Encyclopedia Brown, Scott the Amazing Chris Mann. Film, you've seen a new one. Why don't we start with Malignant?
Malignant. It brings us James Wan back into where I think he belongs. And that is doing some really nice horror films. He's the guy who essayed the Saw series. Insidious, Conjuring, and Aquaman is his most recent things, along with, of course, Malignant.
That is quite a range.
Yes.
It is quite a range.
One of these things is not like the
Yes,
other.
Exactly. And it's written by Wan and Ingrid Bisou, who actually plays a part in this film, too, and Akelup Cooper. And another connection amongst these writers is they're part of the Nun series. Okay.
Oh,
so
okay,
Nun
yeah.
2 is coming out, I guess, coming down the pike. What we have here is really starts with a thread that's rather common, I guess, particularly if you know the Giallo Italian films that often deal with an individual, usually a woman, who witnesses a murder or a series of murders. And she's drawn into, well, did she do them, or what is this thing that has done this kind of dastardly, evil, sinister thing? The main character, played by Annabelle Wallace, is plagued by these visions of murders, and they turn out that they happened. Okay. And then, as part of the Giallo tradition, detectives are drawn. We usually have a couple detectives, right? One mm-hmm. who's silly and one who's straight.
Right.
And the detectives come in and they start doping out this crime. And as it, I can't, this is the problem with talking review-wise. You can't go very far into the plot. This is one where you really have to sit there. I didn't know much about this, okay? I purposely go in rather dumb guy-like, okay? And I discover as it goes along. And it is, to me, it worked really well in what we discover. It's a very tightly written piece, which is unlike Giallo. Well, Giallo is a little background. Giallo means yellow, okay, which refers to the cheap detective novels that were very popular in the 50s and 60s. Pulp, right. So they were yellow. Okay, so here were these Giallos, and they're very series of films that came out in the 60s and 70s, particularly, made by people like Mario Bava, Dario Argento, who is really one of the prime Giallo guys, Umberto Lenzi, Riccardo Freda, and Focchi, okay, Lucio Focchi as well.
Yep. And on the American side of things, to some extent, Irvin Kershner.
Oh, sure.
For Eyes of Laura Mars.
Yes, and it's interesting, as we've started to watch this, and if you see the poster, has the character lying down, or you see a spike like going in, and I won't talk about what that thing is, okay? Because it is a part. My wife goes, this looks like the beginning of the Eyes of Laura Mars.
You know? There we go.
Yes, there you go. Okay, so the Giallo tradition often deals with this hapless individual who stumbles in and has this mysterious, weird figure. Now, this one does, okay? And I really can't go too much into what this thing does because it's quite remarkable what that thing is, okay? And how it plays out of how is it that she is able to see these things that are going on. Okay, and maybe that gives away too much right there. But it certainly does develop nicely. It has a great pace. It is nicely written, and that's unlike some Giallos. Some of the criticisms against Giallos is that they were, well, strings of murders tied together by a very fragile string.
Okay. Ah, I see.
Yeah. I mean, they're set pieces, particularly if you see the Argento films. They're built around big set pieces like a Suspiria, for instance, which really isn't a Giallo, but it is one of his most famous films, a series of murders. And they seem the plots actually are rather illogical. You know, they don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you think about them.
Yeah, if you think about them too much, you know, it's like, huh? Now, there are some elements in this film where I'm sitting back like, how did that? Okay, now a lot of this film, okay, it takes place in Seattle, and a lot of it takes place in underground Seattle. Okay, I guess that Seattle is built on top of itself.
Hmm.
There is actually an underground of Seattle and streets and things like that.
Okay.
And this, takes place there, okay, and really gives you a nice underworld type of feel. The special effects for the film, really nice. The killer, okay, I'm going to give this part away. When you see the killer seems to be working backwards. Okay, I was thinking, am I in a Christopher Nolan type world here all of a sudden? You know? It's like, hey, things seem weird. You know, that thing is doing some strange gymnastics. And those look really nice. One thing I do have problems with is that the invincibility of this thing is like head scratcher. Of course, that's the case with any of these things. You watch John Wick, you know, I thought, how the heck anybody survived?
Oh, yeah.
There,
you know? Well, how many times do you kill, you know, for example, you know, Jason.
Oh, well, exactly. Which brings you to, I mean, one, very gory and violent, but very funny at times. We find ourselves really laughing our heads off at certain points. And it's purposeful, okay? Because it's referencing certain things that, well, if you know some of the other films, it's like, you know, there it is, you know, that kind of connection. And I'm not going to name those films because I don't want to ruin it for any of you who are aficionados of giallo or other types of cinema that this thing references. The film ends open-endedly, as far as I'm concerned. It really leaves itself open, right? If you look at the list of Saw, Insidious, and Conjuring, and even Aquaman, okay, you know, you make something, it's like, well, what's coming out next year or 2 years from now, right? So I'm hoping they don't do that on this case because I really don't see how it could go, but maybe I'm not as creative as these Hollywood types. Okay, who say, yeah, I'll figure it out. Just give me the do-re-mi and we'll get it done, right?
Emphasis on the do.
No, that's exactly right. That's right. So there are quite a few loose ends there that I think, do I need them to be answered? Nah, I hope they don't. Okay, it's like I'll just kind of play with it myself. I highly recommend Malignant. The cast is really good. I think that the Wallace does a fantastic job of saying, this role of the, well, damsel in stress or what?
All right. The thumbs up for Malignant. Thank you very much, film. Scott, what have you got this week?
I've got Parallel is on streaming on Amazon Prime. I enjoyed the premise more than anything. Just the thought of, hey, how do you put this movie together? Sounds interesting. It's a group of friends who are running a tech startup out of a rental house, and within that they discover a false wall that's been sealed up into an attic type area and discover there's a portal to the multiverse in there through an antique mirror of some kind. And once they cross over, of course, they've got to figure out how this works, and they begin to experiment with what will transverse this portal to go back and forth and how it is related to their time as well. And being enterprising folks, they decide, of course, to use it to their advantage. I enjoyed it in the sense that we see this with time travel a lot, of what if you knew about the future? Mm-hmm. Well, what if you could slide between multiverse areas? You know, what would you do? What would you take? What kind of things would you experiment with bringing back? So through the eyes of a tech startup group, this was an interesting thought of how do you perhaps repurpose technology from other places or do things to your advantage? And it ends up being more of an examination of what these opportunities and choices do to the group's relationships between the four of them. So less of a tech concept necessarily, but how they relate to each other. If you have this tool, how do you use it? How far do you go? The cunning sort of ruthless leader character starts pushing things pretty far, as you might expect. And he sees everything in terms of business, so he tactically leverages this tool pretty quickly. But the other members push usage further in personal ways, some for business, some for personal, some for artistic or even for love, and how they relate to the other folks they find in the various other multiverse locations. The effects were good. I think it does a good job of keeping the various timelines and universes straight using a nice coloring wash for different places. So it does a good job of keeping you in the right location to understand what's going on. The plot does a nice job of keeping it grounded. I mean, the idea is fantastical, but only that element. Everything else seems like it's related to a plausible idea.
Anchored in the real world.
Yes. You've got this doorway to other places, but all of them are real. It's just a concept of maybe when or what else has happened there. reminded me a little bit of Sliders, the series, of just small choices that were slightly different, which sends the world off in a slightly different direction. Cast was really good. No one that I recognized from other things, which helped me, you know, get into the environment a little bit better to not know, oh, this is whoever that is. People who were in other things, I looked them up, but it's more of an ensemble piece and less of a star vehicle. Lena, who's played by Georgia King, we actually spend a lot of time with her, and as the lone female of the group, that was an interesting idea, as we usually spend time with the men in this sort of sci-fi idea. So got a little bit interesting perspective there. Does a good job of portraying the various issues that they're wrestling with, as well as her personal decisions. She's kind of the heart of the group a little bit, and conscience a little more than the others. So shows through her kind of what they're dealing with and the decisions they're having to make as things start to unravel. I give it a B+. It was an enjoyable watch, and certainly the concept was interesting and pretty well executed. There's a bit of the ending that didn't quite make sense to me that I don't feel they earned, and it's kind of a wink at a, hey, this isn't quite over idea, but I don't feel like they got there. So that's where I take some points off for that. But otherwise, pretty solid and entertaining, and currently streaming on Amazon Prime. If you're interested in sci-fi, it's worth a watch.
Well, we just mentioned with Malignant, there's also that temptation of studios to leave that slightly ajar door just in case you have enough money to do the sequel. And this is another trope that we've noticed as well, especially with younger people discovering either a device, mental powers, or superpowers, and how it affects their dynamic is the focus of the movie rather than the power itself.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much, folks. We want to know what you're watching. Tell us what you're giving thumbs up or thumbs down. Our email address is talkingpics@kcck.org. For Professor Phil Brown and Scott the Amazing Chrisman, I'm Hollis Monroe on Jazz 88.3 KCCK.